about.
Faith that is not absolute is impotent. But when faith in God is absolute, result is inevitable. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Be blessed as you listen to this life-transforming message by the anointed servant of God. Your faith shall be built up and your miracle delivered.
Send away the word in this house
today. Godliness is profitable unto all things. That is our focus for the month. And our subject of discussion for the month is Godliness Empowers Believers for All-Round Breakthrough. And in the name of Jesus, in this service, you enjoy all-round breakthrough. Now, heaven is the homecoming for all believers, but it's only for the overcomers. If you don't overcome, you can't get to heaven. But in the name of Jesus, by the power of the anointing for over and above this morning, you will overcome. Satan is always fighting against the destiny of believers to make sure you don't make it to heaven. But in the name of Jesus, none of us shall miss heaven. Amen. Your spiritual labor shall not be in vain. Amen. If our hope is only limited to this earth, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. So there is hope of eternity. And that's why we are all serving God to get to eternity. I pray in the name of Jesus, none of us shall miss eternity. Amen. I will see you in heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. But the good news is this, you are not going right now. Amen. You will fulfill your days in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Jesus comes, if Jesus tarries, you'll be minimum 120. Amen. And as I pray for you, so shall it be for me too. Amen. But if Jesus comes, we shall all get to heaven. Amen. However, heaven is not automatic. It is not only for those who come to church. No. Heaven is not automatic for everyone in church. Heaven is only for those who are godly. Amen. And you have to overcome the forces of ungodliness in order to get to heaven. Now, all throughout this month, we have been focusing on two forces of ungodliness. We just selected the ones that we know they are very common. But there are so many other ones that you have to always consciously examine yourselves. Now, in the course of the month, we spoke about unclean spirits, generally habits, attitudes, internally, and all of those, and also the physical ones. We also talked about the spirit of bondage, and we talked about last week the spirit of disobedience and a lying spirit. This morning, we speak about two other ones, forces of ungodliness that we must overcome, and we also show us how to overcome them. And when you overcome, we also show you the benefits that you will derive for overcoming such forces. And then we go into the mystery of the anointing to show you the package that God has for you to be over and above limitation in Jesus' mighty name. So get set. It's a fully loaded, full option in Jesus' mighty name. Number one, the spirit of sexual immorality. That's a force of ungodliness that every believer must overcome to get to heaven. When we talk about sexual immorality, twofold. We talk about fornication and adultery. You hardly hear this kind of thing in church again today. Why? Because the man of God to teach it himself have various girlfriends that is messing that is messing with. So it will be so difficult for him to stand, because as he's saying it, maybe Sister So-so-so is looking at one corner. He will not look that side. He says, so it's not comfortable to say it, praise the Lord. But we are privileged in this commission to have pastors after God's own hearts. Praise the Lord. So we are bold, confident to tell you the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not set you free, it will make you free. Praise the Lord. Now, the spirit of sexual immorality, fornication. If you are not married and you sleep with a girl. Now, we have youth in this meeting too. I know they encourage you in schools and all of those. They bring all those protection, condoms and all of those to you in school. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. God will be displeased with you if you go and commit, if you go and make sex when you are not married. Sex is exclusively reserved for marriage in the plan of God. So when you go and have sex when you are not married as a single man or a single woman, you have committed fornication. Now, when you are married and you go and make sex outside of your marriage, you have committed adultery and is sinful unto God. Joseph called it great wickedness. It's like killing somebody with raw blood, torturing somebody to death. It's like that person is crying, please don't kill me. And you are butchering the person with machete like that until the person die under great pain. I mean, that's what you call great wickedness. When you see someone that commits that kind of atrocity, this is wickedness, great wickedness. But that's how Joseph equated it. He said, how can I do such great wickedness and sin against God because of fornication? So he flee. So this is a force that Satan is using, and it's common today. You hardly can find pure, genuine virgin today. There are still a lot of them. But in this service, God is going to forgive you. God is going to sanctify you. But after this service, you have to run. Praise the Lord. You have to flee. Praise God. If you truly want to be married and you want God to be honored in your marriage, you must not sleep with anyone before you get married. Any man that comes to you and say, well, I want to marry you, but I have to sleep with you, that's a devil. Tell the person, my pastor says you are a devil. And any woman that wants to come to you and say, well, I need to sleep with you, tell that lady you are a devil. Tell them like that, raw, devil. And we can never be married. So, brothers, you are listening right now, don't ever tempt any sister. Under no disguise, under no whatever. There's no testing. Praise God. Amen. And men and women too, you are traveling, you are going for business meeting, you already have another person to service you. Your eye cannot be single. The reason why you want them to come and take care of your room is so that you can see the ladies to talk to. God is watching, and God is seeing you. You know, the eyes of God is everywhere. He's looking at you. Praise God. If you don't want Satan to truncate your destiny, flee from fornication. Flee from adultery. Praise God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain fornication. I said in the first service, everywhere you see fornication and you are married, you better put adultery. It's the same. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. So when you sleep with somebody, you already sin against your body. And your body is not yours. Your body is the temple of the Lord. So you defy the temple of God. Imagine if somebody now comes here now and begin to pee here. He says, stop that. What's the meaning of? Even a child, everybody will scream at the child. You quickly run and carry the child away, not to defy the house of God. And that's what you are doing to your body when you commit fornication and adultery. Now, everyone you have done before today, God has forgiven you. Amen. And God is also forgiving you. Amen. But today, if you go into it, it's a deliberate sin. It's a deliberate sin. Praise God. A lot of people think winners, they don't talk about money and riches. No, raw holiness. Praise God. Especially when you meet people like us who has the origin from SU. And that's my father too. Raw SU. Do you notice Bishop Oyedepo doesn't do all those gyrations and all of those? Conk, raw SU. Praise God. Scripture. I always tell people this ministry is blessed. We may not be doing everything you want, you see everywhere, but the one we do, correct. Raw one. Raw gospel. Praise the Lord. But a lot of people like deception, where they will deceive you and get all your money and all of those. Maybe we should start getting your money too, then you'll be happy. Bring 1,000, bring 10,000, bring 20,000, and after they give you nothing. Because you will not follow after the truth. Shout hallelujah. The second one this morning, because of our time, is the spirit of pride. 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 This is eating up the body of Christ today. And when I say the body of Christ, in Christendom? Pride. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction. And I say here, pride is the prerequisite for destruction. You know, in subjects, if you want to take math 601, it'll tell you 502 is a prerequisite. So if you don't pass the prerequisite, you can't go. So if you are already taking the course of pride, you're already going in towards destruction. May no one's destiny be destroyed. Amen. Pride, when you don't give glory to God, God sees it as pride. When you ascribe, that's why every time you see God, take all the glory. Anytime they share testimony, we return the glory to God. And please, don't help the pastor destroy themselves. Don't come and say, oh, I want to thank pastor for... No, you are not thanking pastor. You are thanking who? God. Praise God. I want to give glory to God for this testimony. Yes, you can say, oh, pastor, pray for you, but you are not thanking pastor because who is pastor? It's not in him, it's in God. That's why we quickly, if you transfer it to us, we quickly transfer it back to God. But a lot of people are taking God's glory, and God sees it as pride. Who are you without God? Oh, my education, high school, first degree in Cambridge when I was in UK. I came to America, second degree in Harvard, and I went to MIT and also Pennsylvania, and, I'm so smart, so brilliant, so sharp. I mean, I've never seen so sharp person like me before. You have to be smart like your dad, okay? You see, your dad is so smart, man. He's so smart. Who are you without God? Always give all the glory to God. Give the glory to God. See, when you complain and murmur about your situation, it's because you have not seen the hand of God. And to God, it's also pride. Where you are not giving God thanks for it. How do you expect him to take you to where you want to be? Pride is also an excessive high opinion of oneself. When you see yourself, somebody talk to you, you are a pastor, and he say, brother, say, be very careful. You can't respect this anointing. See, all those titles, they are for administrative conveniences. We are all brothers and sisters. So when you are in church, use the title. When you get home, after you cross, okay, for instance now, if you are deacon in the church here and you get to work, do they call you deacon at work? Do they call you pastor at work? If I will get to work and you put pastor, they'll be looking at you. We don't have church here. So all the title we have here is to serve here. When you live here, just remain yourself. Even here, while you are serving with the title, just know it's for administrative convenience. Praise the Lord. Somebody mistakenly called somebody sister, and she was so hungry. He's not in this church, so you know, thinking your pastor is speaking to, you know. He said, you call me sister? I was ordained before you became member of this church. I'm a deaconess. No one says sister again. Ah, what is the difference between deaconess and sister? Are you a brother? You're a sister. Praise God. You see, when we do program like this, no matter your this thing, it's your first name that will be there. First name. I mean, we can, because, what's the reason? Because we are not sure. If you are a pastor, I will put deacon, you may be offended. So, if you put everybody's name, so no matter your title, it's your first name, as long as we assign you. And you are hearing now, at all the places, nobody should go and be putting pastor, so deacon. Put the first name when you do the program. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Pride is a great sin before God. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God receives the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, pride emanates from the heart and it manifests physically. In most cases, not in all cases, in most cases, it shows off, it puffs off. It's just like yeast. When you put yeast in a dough, You see, it makes it, praise the Lord. But the puffing is not really the pride, but the yeast is from the heart. Praise God. So some individual, they try to camouflage. Especially, if, you know, from a particular culture in Africa, you know, that the culture is you have to respect by physically doing it. When you see an elder, you have to. Good morning, sir. So if you don't do that, it's seen as disrespect. So, but some we take advantage of that. In their heart, they are standing. But physically, they are. The thing is in the heart. You may not be doing that physically, but your heart is bowing. That's the one God loves. Praise the Lord. You know the reason, I'm not a fan of calling me father, you know, by all of those. I'm not a fan of that. Praise God. I prefer you call me pastor. Imagine I now see somebody like, it will be madness for me. I say, elder, please stand up with due respect. He said, this my son. Is it not madness? He said, come, my son. You know how I feel? No. I mean, yeah, spiritually, you're a spiritual father, but humble yourself. Praise the Lord. Yeah, no, by ordination, by the commission, by saying, I'm your spiritual father. But I don't, you know, calling me your daddy, no. Pastor, I'm okay. Praise the Lord. I want to live long. Praise God. With due respect to all of you, I mean, some people, no matter what, they just say, even if you say we should not call you, we will still call you. Praise God. I mean, there are people like that. That's fine. That's okay. But generally, you understand what I'm saying? Don't let it enter here. Because when you enter here and somebody one day now say, pastor, say, he cannot even call me father. He cannot call me daddy. Then you now begin to see, you know, your hands up. And God resists the proud. And he gives more grace to the humble. Shout hallelujah. The downfall of Nebuchadnezzar was pride. Let's read this encounter. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to 33. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon the high? So pride is always I. Remember the rich fool. God called him the rich fool. I. I have built for the house of a kingdom by the might of my power. Who are you? And for the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever I will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his ears were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. May that not be your testimony. But the truth is, a lot of people are in the bush right now. A lot of people are eating grasses right now because of pride. It may not be physically, but that's the reason why some are stagnated. That's the reason why some things are not working for some. Because they are taking God's glory. Because they are exercising the character that is contrary. Even Jesus Christ, what gave him the name? What confirmed his name? It was humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, he said, even though he was equal with God, he counted not equality with God. He said, let this mind, so it starts from the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is, he was God himself, though thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So when you are proud, you are a robber. When you take God's glory, you are a robber. But made himself of no reputation. The reason why people are proud is because of reputation. You carry too, who are thou? You carry too much reputation. Zero reputation. Zero reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, even though he was God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And what happens? Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So when you humble yourself, you will be above. And that is what this anointing will do for you this morning. This anointing will put you over and above in the order of Jesus Christ. Remember King Herod, the same thing like Nebuchadnezzar. He was giving a speech and people said, oh, wow, this is the voice of God. He didn't stop there. What happened? Angel came right there. Pwah, and worm hit him. That's instant judgment. Thank God this day, God is not, you know, exercising that kind of judgment again. Otherwise, there will be nobody in church again. By the time you come to church and you just see like Ananias and Sapphira, is it that church? Then they die too much. Shout hallelujah. May God have mercy. In Jesus' mighty name. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven an abomination unto him. And what is the first one? A proud look. Proud look. Some will look at others as if it's not God that made them. The kind of look they will look at you, as if you are smelling, you are, no, you don't belong to us here, you are not our class. Some individual, when a stranger come and sit beside them, they change seats. The guy is smelling, he's thinking. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, he that sweareth discord among brethren. All of them equal. May God have mercy. Pride is a spirit and is a deadly spirit. It kills faster than cancer. Now, hear this. If no one can correct you, you are proud. As I am right now, even my co-pastors can correct me. One thing with me, if I tell you this is what we are doing, even my co-pastors, they are too far away. My workers, if I say, we are doing this right now, come back 30 minutes, say, sir, but this thing you said we should do, this is how I say, oh, really? Okay, do it your way. Praise the Lord. If no one can correct you, you are proud. If as a husband, you have issue in your marriage, and your wife has no one to report you to, that you will listen to, I mean, you are gone. You're already gone. You are a dead man. You are just, you know. Your wife said, well, I will go and tell pastor. I say, go and tell him. Who is pastor? You are already dead. Please. Or your wife says, well, I will call elder so-so-so. I say, oh, forget the elder so-so-so-so. So there is nobody that can talk to you. You're already gone. If your opinion is always right, you are proud. If you always put your own ideas above others, alwaysly, you are proud. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power and the anointing this morning, every proud spirit shall be broken. James chapter 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now, hear this scripture. I think I pass over this scripture. I want the younger ones to see how to respect the elders. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I was sharing the first service this morning. You see, this generation is very arrogant generation. Especially my age range. That's between 40 and 55. That's when you see that trait. Oh, you are talking to a 40-year-old man? You don't have respect? Or when it clocks 50, nobody rests again. Even my junior, cannot talk to me like that. At 50. But when you see 55 and above, they start learning their lessons. They start reflecting, we have made all these mistakes. They will just be shaking. Now, when you see our elders, they are so calm. You see, they have all these generations, they have already been there. So they just look at you. Praise the Lord. So I love to work with elders because they are so mature, because they have learned all the lessons. Praise the Lord. You younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Now, this morning, quickly, how do we overcome these sins? I'll just give it to us because we want to focus on the anointing this morning. Number one, how to overcome ungodliness generally, and the one we mentioned. Engage the spirit of love to overcome the spirit of the world. What do we call the love of God? It's the fear of God. The love of God is the fear of God. That you are God conscious everywhere you are. That was what helped Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because he loves God. He didn't want to sin against God. Embrace the love of God. Love God. Be God's lover. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Number 2, lay aside every sin and weight. Some of you have identified your weaknesses. You have identified your shortcomings. Push them aside. You are not dragging your feet to the house of the sister. What are you going there to do for kingdom's sake? By yourself at 10 p.m. To do what? Lay aside. You already identify your weakness. Lay it aside. Cast it aside. Don't let sin overcome you, but overcome sin. Number 3, engage the name of Jesus in battle against sin. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's anointing in the name of Jesus. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 3. There's anointing in that name to break every sin. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it and is saved. So when you flee fornication, where do you flee to? The name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10. And number 4, crave for the endowment of the spirit of obedience. Now, it's good to hear. We have been hearing. Now, somebody told me years back, he said, we don't have problem of the word in this ministry. We have problem over word. Too much word. We have a lot. Before this one is over, another one has come. But how many are we practicing? If every winner we just put to work 1%, we may not need to preach again. We just come to church and just dance and praise and go. Because we have more than enough. But how many are you obeying? Obedience is the key. Moses told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, which I, Moses, command you this day, then the Lord your God will set you above all nations of the earth, over and above, by obedience. Shout hallelujah. And quickly, benefit of godliness includes the flow of revelation. The reason why God is not speaking to you is because you are not holy. God is holy. He cannot communicate through an holy vessel. If you are holy, when you read the word, Holy Spirit will speak to you. There will be revelation. Revelation will be flowing. But if you are not holy, every line will be blocked. All trunks will be busy, like Nitel old line. All trunks are busy. Please try back again. All trunks are busy. Try back. Because you are not holy, revelation will not flow. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Number 2, it delivers peace, quietness, and assurance. When you are holy, you have peace. When you are holy. The Bible says the righteous man, no, the wicked flee where no man is pursuing him. But the righteous is as bold as what? As lion. Now, when you put a wrong plate in your car, some of you are still doing it, beware. You put a wrong plate tag, your car don't have insurance, and you are driving. When you see the police light, flashing light, your heart will be po, 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 because you're thinking it's after you. Why? Because you are doing something wrong. Or maybe you are over the limit. It's 45 miles an hour, and you're already on 65. And you see the policeman coming. Meanwhile, the man is running after this emergency truck. After, you just see like that, you mash brake. Shwa! From 65, we'll go to 35. Shee! And when the man just drives, I say, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But when you are righteous, peace all the time. Peace like a river. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous as bold as lion. Now, number three, it enhances supernatural breakthrough. In spite of all the challenges of Job, he enjoyed breakthrough at the end. It doesn't matter what you are passing through right now. A believer may be challenged. It is normal for a believer to be challenged. But it is abnormal for a believer to be defeated. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. 1 John 5:4. So don't worry what you are going through, the challenges you are going through. It is normal. But it is abnormal for you to be defeated. So I decree in the name of Jesus, you shall not be defeated. Amen. That marital challenge shall not defeat you. Amen. That career breakthrough challenge shall not overwhelm you. Amen. That health challenge shall not kill you. Amen. But keep holy. Remain holy, and you enjoy supernatural breakthrough. We can learn from this.